from the campus of the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School. This is Work and Life on Business Radio, powered by the Wharton School. Here is Professor Stu Friedman.
Welcome to Work and Life on SiriusXM's Business Radio, powered by the Wharton School. I'm your host, Stu Friedman. I'm an organizational psychologist here at the Wharton School, having founded our work-life integration project way back in 1991. Coming up on today's show, I'm going to be joined right here in the studio by Talking Talent's Karen Rubin. She's a certified coach who's helping Fortune 500 companies to develop the female talent pipeline and bring more women to the top. We're going to talk about why she's committed herself to helping women succeed in the workplace and the programs she's helping to establish that enable women and their managers to successfully manage the maternity transition and the child-rearing years. So if you're a young mother or father, or you're about to become one, you are not going to want to miss this first segment. Plus, later on, technology researcher and digital explorer Alexandra Samuel, she's going to be joining me to talk about the work she's doing with the world's leading companies, defining how we live and work online, which is a topic I'm certainly very interested in. Hopefully you will be as well. We're going to be talking about her great new book, Work Smarter with Social Media, exploring the impact of technology both socially and in business. So what do we do on this show every week? Well, it's to talk about work and the rest of life. That's your home and family, your community and society, and it is your private self. What's inside of you? That which is distinctive about you, your mind, your body, your spirit. What we're trying to do here on this show, and we have been for the last year and a half, is to help you to become more informed and more effective in bringing together the different parts of your life in a way that works for all of them, to create a greater sense of harmony. And if we're really successful, we're going to help you to help other people to do the same thing, whether it's at work or with your friends, in your community, and perhaps most importantly, in your family. We come to you live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern from the beautiful campus of the University of Pennsylvania and love to hear from you. So write to us with questions you've got about the intersection of work and the rest of life and what we might be able to do to try to help you. You can write at businessradio@siriusxm.com. And you can also follow on Twitter. That's at Stu Friedman, Stewfriedman. And at Biz Radio. That is our channel's handle, BIZ Radio 111. Before I welcome in our first guest, let me just talk about one of the many items in the news this past week, and that was Netflix's announcement of their new maternity and paternity leave policy. It really kind of shook up the business world, particularly the tech sector. And their announcement was, you've probably heard about it, that for a year, you can take as much time as you want. Boom, that's it, full stop. So you figure out how much time you need to make the transition into becoming a parent and work with your team, with your manager, to make that work both for you, your family, and for us as a company. Now, Netflix has been in the business of flexibility for a long time and really pride themselves on having the culture in which people have control. And this might not be a model that would work in your company, but maybe it would. I think that this is one more step forward in the radical progress that's being made in our society toward greater respect for the family part of our working family lives. And I'd be curious to know what you think about the Netflix decision and about what it means for your business and for our society. Maybe that's something that Karen Rubin, our first guest, will have something to say about. So Karen is the managing director of Talking Talent North America, where she and her colleagues have coached over 14,000 women and their managers at companies like Deutsche Bank, McKinsey, and others. In her work as a certified coach, Karen is working with Fortune 500 companies to develop the talent pipeline for women and to help women advance in their careers. And she joins me today to talk about this topic, and in particular about the transition into becoming a mother. and the child raising years. So Karen's an expert on this topic, and I'm thrilled to welcome her to the show. Karen, welcome.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here. So if you're listening and you're about to have a child, or you've just had one and you're, you know, trying to figure out what this means for your family life, and whether you're a man or a woman, for your work life rather, as well as for your family life, we've got one of the world's experts right here to talk with you. You can give us a call, 844-942-7866. That's 844-942-7866, 844-WHARTON, for questions about how do I handle the transition into parenthood in terms of how it affects my work? So, Karen, what do you think about the Netflix deal?
Well, I think it's an exciting announcement and certainly a step in the right direction. It's really wonderful to see some U.S. companies that are offering more generous benefits mm-hmm. around the parent transition. With that said, I think the danger of this type of policy is that a company might say, okay, now we're done. We're offering a year paid leave, so we don't need to do anything else. And not everybody is going to feel comfortable taking that leave. Mm-hmm. Many people would want it. But the concern is if an individual actually takes it, what might that perception be? Will they be perceived as somebody who's no longer committed to their career? Mm-hmm. And what if somebody else takes 2 months? Is that person on track for promotion and leadership? Right. So it puts a company into a gray area.
There's a lot of work that needs to be done to manage the expectations that surround people taking this time. And what stigma, we know mm-hmm. there's stigma associated with taking time for your family. How that gets managed here is going to be critical.
Absolutely. So management really has to be behind it. Mm-hmm. So there needs to be a cultural acceptance of taking that type of leave for it to really work in practice. Otherwise, it's a carrot that's dangled that nobody can actually take advantage of.
Right. So it has to be used. And mm-hmm. that's what we know to be a problem with take as much time you want for vacation policies. That mm-hmm. the problem isn't that people take too much time, it's that they take too little.
Exactly.
For the very same reason.
Yeah. It's sort of this work martyr syndrome. And in some cases, it's better to just have a defined period of time. But with that said, I'm all for companies offering more generous maternity leaves. As mm-hmm. you probably know, the U.S. lags behind just about every developed country in the world.
Yes, a topic we've talked many times about on this show.
So it's good that everybody is starting to pay attention to it. The tech sector in particular is one where it's very difficult for women to stay engaged. There's a lot of dropout. There's very low numbers as far as women mm-hmm. Making it and making it into senior leadership. So these tech companies, I applaud their effort, but it needs to be supplemented by more support.
Absolutely. But you can see just today, Adobe announced that they're going to be doubling down on the amount of time that they're devoting to maternity leave following the announcements by Netflix and then Microsoft. So these announcements, they're steps in the right direction.
Absolutely.
And they do have ripple effects as they create competitive pressures on other companies mm-hmm. who are now trying to keep up in order to be able to win the war for talent.
Absolutely. And Google found that when they increased their maternity leave from 12 to 18 weeks, they saw a 50% increase in retention of women going through the maternity transition. So mm-hmm. so it certainly is helpful.
All right. So if you're listening and you have a question or an opinion about the new parental leave policies of Netflix and other companies, you can give us a call, 844-942-7866. But let's get now, Karen, into the work that you do. With your company. You worked for 16 plus years at companies including DirecTV, Showtime Networks, mm-hmm. and then you took a career break to stay at home full time with three children, all of whom are in their teen years now, three teenage girls you've got. Now, during that time, you trained and became a certified coach at one of the top coaching programs in the country. What was the catalyst that inspired you to make this career shift?
Mm. Well, when I left the corporate arena, and you know, I was fortunate that I had the opportunity to be home with my kids. But after a certain period of time, I was really itchy to get back to work.
So, when you say you were fortunate, you mean you had the financial resources able to
exactly?
To,
I had
to
choices
enable you to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had choices available to me. Not mm-hmm. everybody has that, but I had invested years in my career. I had gotten an MBA. I loved working. And I looked around and I wasn't sure what I should do next. But I also knew that when I exited from that corporate arena in between my second and third child, I knew that if I had had the benefit of a coach during that time, I absolutely would have stayed.
Do you regret not having stayed, Karen? You're saying that looking back, you'd rather have stayed?
No, absolutely not. I loved the time that I got at home with my girls. And I am fortunate that I landed on my feet and I was able to get back into the workforce. But I also know a lot of women don't. About 40% of women who leave the workforce to stay at home with their kids never make it back. And often they want to, they just can't find a way back in. So I loved that I had this I had the time with my girls and that I was able to go back. But that's why this work is so meaningful to me. I know that there are a lot of women out there who love their careers. They also love their families and they're just looking for a way to make it work.
Right. So what drove you to take this up as your primary work?
I had so many smart, educated friends who were sort of unhappy being full-time stay-at-home moms. And it's, you know, this is not a judgment in any way. It's a wonderful thing to do. It's right for many people. But I know a lot of women who wished they could get back to work and couldn't figure it out. So when I was thinking, well, what, I know there's companies like iRelaunch that help women get back to work.
Yep.
But I thought, what could companies do?
They've been on our show in the past.
Oh, yeah, I love them. But I thought, what could companies do to hold on to their women? And that's what Talking Talent specializes in. So I was able to connect with this wonderful company that works with organizations to help them figure out how to coach employees and managers throughout this really important inflection point in your life so that you, if you want to continue with your career, that you can.
All right. So let's get into the nitty gritty of like how you actually help people or how somebody might have helped you 13 years ago or whatever it was in terms of your being able to, stay when you might have not wanted to leave. Mm-hmm. What do you do? How do you help?
So we work with both the women as well as their managers. And I say women, but we also work with men who are becoming parents. It's another group that really needs support. But we help them figure out how should they make the announcement? How do they transition their work? What do they want? What kind of parent do they want to be? What role models can they find within their companies? How connected do they want to be while they're out on leave? We help them think through all of the important issues along the way. How do you reenter? How do you make sure that your key stakeholders know what you want so that false assumptions aren't made? A lot of times,
so important.
Yeah, right.
To communicate and to find out from the people around you what's going to make this a win for them.
Exactly.
So you coach people through that process, and that's naturally going to result in better outcomes. I want to hear more about this, but we've got Jason calling from Chicago as a question about what we're talking about here. Jason, welcome to Work and Life.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on.
What's your question? How can we help you?
So, yeah, I'm a recent father of twins, and today was actually the first time my wife went back to work. Obviously, that was hard for her. And
what are you doing on the phone talking to us here? Shouldn't you be taking care of those two kids? Just kidding.
I'm on my way back right now.
All right, no,
calling me.
I'm glad you're here. So tell us what's going on.
So she works for a large corporation. A large retail store based in Chicago. She went back today. Obviously, that's hard for her. She would like to stay home, but where we live and we really can't afford it. What opportunities or how do we go about finding a stay-at-home job where salaries and benefits, you know, kind of can match that corporate world? You don't find jobs like that on CareerBuilder or those job finding sites. And, you know, I've reached out to a few headhunters and, you know, it's not for them either.
Karen?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's really not my area of expertise, helping people find stay-at-home jobs. So I don't really have too much to offer.
But Jason, we're going to move on here, but I would like you to stay on the line so that our producer can get your name and contact information, because there's other people that we can put you in touch with, especially people here at Wharton who help with creating entrepreneurial ventures from your home. So hang on the line, Jason, and we will get back to you with some other information that might be of use to you. Karen, let's get back to what you were saying about how you work with people who are making this transition. So it's critical to know what your goals are, to be able to find out from the people around you what they need and expect. What else do you do that makes a difference?
Well, this brings up a really interesting point. The guilt that many working mothers feel is a big topic of conversation in the coaching. So often women feel that they can't have a successful career and also be the kind of parent that they want to be. And that leads to sometimes they're working so hard at home and working so hard at work to be the perfect professional and the perfect mother. And ultimately that leads to burnout. So what we often will think about or help our clients consider is what is really important to them. What might they be able to let go of? What can they delegate? Because you can't give 100% in both places without burning out at some point.
So what are the keys to reducing that guilt? How do you get past that? Because it's I'm sure that is something you hear about a lot. And what helps? What really makes a difference in having people feel better about the choices they're making?
Well, one thing is to consider what's most important to you as a parent. And so if it's being available for a pickup or a bath or appointments with the pediatrician, you figure out what are those things and make sure that you are available for those things. But there are probably lots of things that you do because you think you should, but that you may not enjoy and you could really delegate to somebody else.
So for example,
there are people who do drop-offs to childcare that they could hire that out. They could have somebody else do that. They could figure out another way. It's not necessarily the best time with your child, or you could figure out perhaps a different childcare arrangement where it makes your life a little bit easier and it makes it more sustainable. Another area in the workplace is really thinking about, are you constantly involved with office chores that sometimes women get delegated, planning things, mentoring, things that are good in a small quantity, but over time can really lead to exhaustion and burnout. So it's trying to figure out what is most important, where are your strengths, where do you shine, what lights you up, and getting and really tossing some of the things that don't.
And perhaps helping other people to take up those responsibilities in ways that would be good for them, right? I am speaking with Talking Talent's Karen Rubin. She's a career coach helping women at different stages in their career to succeed in the workplace. And if you're looking for advice, particularly on the transition to becoming a parent, give us a call at 844-942-7866. That's 844-WHARTON. So how else do you help people in terms of how they get to you? How does someone in an organization, small, medium, or large, know that they need help with making the transition to parenthood? Because it's not something that anybody ever told me about when I was young. And it sounds like you didn't get that support either.
No, I wish I had.
And you're way younger than me. So this is something that's new, right?
It is fairly new. And in particular, in the United States, it's a new concept. So I would check with your HR group, find out if this is a benefit that's offered to you through work. Usually that's how organizations provide it to their employees. If you can get it through your organization, that's really a wonderful way. You can also look at the Talking Talent website for some tips. The other thing that's really important is to make sure that managers, so sometimes managers think, oh, I've had lots of women go through, become parents. I know what I'm doing. But that relationship between the employee and the manager really predicts how successful that transition is going to be. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage managers to learn all you can about what conversations you should have with your employee. How do you want to present this to the team so that it's a positive situation?
So let's take the employee who works in an environment that's, you know, not really been traditionally focused on the question of how to help you become a better parent, which is probably pretty typical of most businesses. So if you're you're 27, you've just had your first child, you want to, you know, be the best mother you can possibly be, but you also want to continue to advance in your career. How do you work with your colleagues, your supervisor, when that's not a normal thing to talk about? How do you coach people to do that?
That's a great question. It's really about being clear and communicating what you see for yourself in your future. So if you want to continue on that same career trajectory that you had before, you want to make sure that everybody knows that that's what you want. Yes, you are 100% committed still. So that they don't make assumptions. Sometimes after a woman has a child, it will be assumed that she wouldn't want a high visibility project, she wouldn't want a promotion, so she may be overlooked. So
that's the unconscious bias that exists for young mothers. So so you have to overcome that both from the perspective of the men and others in positions of power, but from the perspective of the young mother who wants to create some change, please continue. What should she do?
So she should definitely have a conversation with her manager. She should be talking to mentors, sponsors, all key stakeholders, letting them know what she wants. And with that said, not everybody wants to continue along that same career path. Sometimes people want to maybe stay at the same level for a while. Maybe they want to make a lateral move, and that's okay too. What's important about that is to make sure that people know when you are ready to start on that promotion track, that you're having those conversations, that you're letting people know what you want.
I could see how it would be kind of frightening, though, for some people to raise those issues, especially in an environment that hasn't traditionally been open to having conversations like that. So what are the kinds of fears that people have, and how do you help people overcome them?
Well, one big fear, I'm going to take it from the other perspective, but from the manager's perspective, is that they're going to say the wrong thing. And they're so afraid of saying the wrong thing.
The manager's going to say the wrong thing.
Yeah, that sometimes they don't say anything at all. So from the manager perspective, you really want to ask, what do you want? Where do you see yourself? How can we be supportive here? If you are the employee and you're thinking, wow, I really don't want to travel so much. I maybe want a flexible work arrangement. You need to think about how can you align what you want with what the business needs so that when you're crafting a proposal for something like that, that you're not just saying this would be good for me, but this is how I'm going to make it work for everybody.
So it's going to be a different solution for different people, right? Because some young parents, mothers, fathers, they want to take a lot of time off. They want to be super involved in their children's lives. Others, perhaps less so, or, you know, and everything in between. So there's no one-size-fits-all here, is there?
Absolutely not. There's not. And you want to look around and see what's working for other people and maybe cobble together different elements that you're seeing, because you're absolutely right. If you talk to 10 parents, they might be making it work in 10 different ways. So you really need to look at all the role models available to you and not make assumptions about what I see happening with women is, especially if they're in a heavily male-dominated industry or a type of work that's very time-consuming, that they'll say, well, I don't see anybody doing this job in a way that I want to do, therefore I'm going to leave right now. It's sort of the Sheryl Sandberg leaving before you leave. And that's not necessarily, I think, the best way to approach it. You might want to look at different ways that people are doing things, and maybe you need to become the role model.
That requires courage, right?
Yeah.
Speaking it does. From the heart, the truth of what your real life is.
So
again, how do you help people overcome what, you know, must inhibit many people from speaking honestly with people who might say no or that's a bad idea? To put that out there in a way that is seen not as selfish, but really as intended to make a positive impact on the business.
Yeah, sometimes it does feel for some that it's a gutsy move to be able to come out and say what you want. And we encourage the employees to do it. We give them the tools for how do you, you know, for having that conversation. And ideally, we're also working with their manager so that the manager understands the perspective of that employee, what it must be like for them, what how can they engage in that conversation? If somebody provides them with a proposal for a flexible work arrangement, how do you evaluate that? If you have to say no, what might that mean for others who want to request it? Or if you're not sure it's going to work, maybe how you could trial something. So it's the beauty of coaching around this is it's not that we're prescriptive and saying, here, just do these five things and mm-hmm. it's all going to work out. It's mm-hmm. it's helping people understand what's important to them and what their fears may be and how, but also knowing if when you can make it work, if you can have the career that you want and the family that you want, it's you have a beautiful life.
We've only got about a minute left here, Karen. So what's the one most important thing that you want our listeners to know about this topic and the work that you do?
I think the most important thing is that it can work and that for women who are out there who are feeling exhausted and discouraged, that it's important to look around, see what others are doing, just to know that there are ways to be a great mother and a great professional and that you can do both. And that it's that we can make this work.
You've got three daughters, Karen.
I do.
So 20 years from now, if I were to be talking to the three of them sitting around here in the studio, what do you think they're going to be telling me about their lives and careers?
Oh, great question. So I think Lexi, Julia, and Sophia will be saying that they are glad that their mom worked and that she went back to work and that she was a role model to them. And to, they see how happy I am being back to work. So I think that they'll even though life is crazier and clothes aren't folded beautifully and sometimes we run out of milk, that it's that still it's okay.
It's all right. Karen Rubin, I've been speaking with you this last half hour about your great ideas and the work that you're doing to help women and men make the transition into becoming parents at Talking Talent North America. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
It's really been a lot of fun. For more information about Karen's work, you can visit Talking Talent online at talkingtalent.com. That's talking, T-A-L-K-I-N-G, talent, T-A-L-E-N-T.com. Or you can follow them on Twitter at Talking Talent, also at Karen Rubin 1. That's K-A-R-E-N-R-U-B-I-N-1. Coming up, technology researcher, digital adventurer, Alexandra Samuel. She's going to be joining me to talk about the work she's doing with the world's leading companies defining how we live and work online. I'm Stu Friedman. You're listening to Work and Life on Business Radio, powered by the Wharton School, Sirius XM 111.